Mr. Dameron. Good afternoon, Mr. Madden.
Mr. Len Dameron is requesting commission reconsideration of the $9,000 civil charge assessed in connection with his involvement as contractor for the construction of a 170-foot-long by 8-foot-wide community pier with a 184-foot T-head built for his client, Benchmark Developers, LLC, that was built without commission authorization adjacent to properties situated along a cove of Hack Creek in Northumberland County. There's a establishing slide. At the top of the picture is the Potomac River and Smith Point down here. This is really where the Potomac River empties into the bay for the benefit of the new members. It's right about here. This is where the Potomac drains into the Chesapeake Bay proper. One of the tidal tributaries to it I've circled here, which is referred to as Hack Creek. It's a residential area, and Benchmark Development wanted to put a development right in this area right here. This is a cove where the project is. It's a community pier right about this location here. I'll get a little closer. This is the pier as it appears today. While it was taken in earlier this year, this is the T-head pier that was built prior to the commission giving authorization to the project. But what we're here to discuss are the civil charges. During the public hearing on August 24, 2012, the commission reviewed slides of the proposal, all documents in the official record, and the supporting testimony provided by Mr. Armstrong, who was one of the principals, Mr. Jeff Howarth, who was the agent, and Mr. David Nelson, who was one of the other principals, as well as opposing arguments from Mr. A. Davis Bug, attorney for Mr. Stuart McDaniel, and also his father, Dr. Leroy McDaniel. After careful deliberation and after considering all the factors contained in Section 28.2.1205, subsection A of the Code of Virginia, the Commission voted unanimously to approve the permit in modified form. From that this eliminated a portion of the previously unauthorized T-head. And from this slide, it's this section that goes from the south where the access pier connects up with T-head. The motion was to, and it was accepted, of course, it was to remove this section right here. As part of the motion, the Commission also assessed a civil charge in the amount of $9,000 against both Benchmark Developers and Mr. Dameron, the contractor who built the community pier. The charges were assessed in lieu of further enforcement action pursuant to Section 28.2.12.13 of the Code of Virginia. That's what the Commission approved, what I've highlighted in red. Subsequent to the Commission's decision, Mr. Dameron requested reconsideration of the civil charges. This is the letter 2E1 in your packet. In his letter, dated September 4th, 2012, Mr. Dameron contends that he operated under presumption that he had received all the necessary permits. During the public hearing on this matter, the Commission provided a copy of the Skiff Cove contract. I also have a copy of that. It is in the record of the previous hearing, but if you'd like it, it is available. I can provide it if you like. That's the contract. I have provided a copy of that to council. That is in the record of the July hearing. During the Article 1, Section 2.2 of the contract states that the subcontractor, Dameron Marine Construction, shall ensure that the owner, Benchmark Developer, has obtained all requisite permits and bonds as required by law and regulations of the Commonwealth and the Northumberland County, and shall coordinate with owner to obtain any missing permits and bonds required. Article 8, subsection 8.1, also indicates that the subcontractor is responsible for permits pertaining to the law, ordinance, and regulations where the work is performed. Both of these pages were initialed by the subcontractor, presumed to be Mr. Len Dameron. Mr. Dameron asserts in a later letter, on which is item 3A, that the owner gave him the wrong set of plans. And I have a copy of that drawing right there that comes from Mr. Dameron's letter. You'll see Mr. Dameron's notations here. Here. I'll note that the pier is in this particular sketch is 170 feet long. Mr. Dameron asserts that these were the drawings that he was given. Upon learning this, commission staff contacted Mr. Jeff Howitt, who I mentioned previously as the agent of record. You'll see the J.L. Howitt PC appears here. Jeff Howitt is a licensed consulting engineer and professional engineer. We contacted him, and he wrote us a letter. I believe that to be 2B1. Mr. Howarth responded that the drawing Mr. Dameron refers to that I have on the slide here and attached to the email we received is simply a sketch. And I asked him later on, what does he mean by a sketch? And he said, there's no engineer's seal on it, nor are there any tie-down distances indicated. In addition, the drawing Mr. Dameron referred to is not contained in the wetland permit that was authorized by the Northumberland County Wetland Board. They authorized a 135-foot structure. There's a ground shot showing the project. In addition, Mr. Dameron asserts that it was the developer's responsibility to assure that all of the permits were received and complied with. That's contained in the letter. On October 12, 2012, commission staff met with Mr. Dameron and his counsel, Senator Richard Stewart. At that time, we were informed that Mr. Dameron received a copy of the sketch drawn by Mr. Howitt that I mentioned previously, described in the 2012 letter from a Mr. Scott Pierce. Mr. Pierce is Mr. Armstrong's ex-son-in-law, who, according to the contractor, was his point of contact for the project. It was Mr. Pierce that gave Mr. Dameron the drawing that he included in his letter that showed it was 170 feet long. Mr. Armstrong and the sketch in question depicts a T-head pier with a wet slips and a 170-foot access pier instead of the 135-foot access pier permitted by the Northumberland County Wetland Board. It was this sketch supplied by Mr. Pierce, which the contractor claims he used to build a pier. Mr. Dameron's counsel has since provided a letter verifying this information. He further requested the civil charge be waived, provided Mr. Dameron is not found to be involved in any unauthorized permit work for some period of time, which would be much like a probationary period. Let me show you another slide here just so you kind of get an idea of what it looks like. This is the section that was faces toward the north and the mouth of the Potomac River. Out through the break in the out here is the Potomac. And this is the north side of the community pier. This was the side that was allowed to remain. And then I swung around 180 degrees, and I'm looking up into the head of the cove. This was the section that was to be removed. And there's the float that is right inboard of the connection between the two structures. And we're back to there. And as a way in addition, Mr. Dameron's failure to appear at the commission meeting seems to have arisen from his assumption that his involvement in Benchmark had ceased upon his completion of the pier, in accordance with the drawings provided him by Mr. Pierce, and his presumption that all the permit issues had been addressed by the owner. As far as a staff's recommendation and summary, staff remains concerned over the after-the-fact nature of this project. The unauthorized pier was constructed by an experienced contractor. Given the after-the-fact nature of the application and the fact that the procuring the permits was part of the contract he entered into with the permittee, the civil charge of the commission civil charge matrix places this in the moderate impact and major deviation category. This category recommends a civil charge of $9,000, which was assessed against the contractor in the July 24, 2012 hearing. However, considering the information regarding the role of Mr. Pierce's contact as the representative for the developers, the commission may wish to consider a civil charge based on a moderate impact and a moderate deviation. Furthermore, since the contractor has indicated that a civil charge would be a hardship, and there may be mitigating circumstances stemming from Mr. Pierce's involvement in the commission, the commission may wish to consider eliminating some portion of the civil charge if he is not involved in any unauthorized activity associated with a commission permit action for a specific period of time. Also, an installment plan over a specific period for the payment of any remaining civil charge could be considered. As in all violations, there is in all violation cases where a contractor is found to be involved, if Mr. Dammer is unwilling to accept a civil charge in an amount and under terms acceptable to the commission may wish to consider referring the matter to the Office of the Attorney General for further enforcement action. As a sidebar, it should also be noted that upon notification that the commission would entertain Mr. Dammer's request to review his civil charge assessment, we received a letter from Mr. David Nelson asking that should the commission change Mr. Dameron's assessment, that they would like the same consideration. In this case, however, commission staff is not inclined to recommend any reduction of the civil charge for the developer. In fact, it would seem the information involving Mr. Pierce suggests they may have had a greater role in the direction of direction to Mr. Dameron than was first believed. I'd be more than happy, of course, to answer any questions that you may have concerning this project.
Questions for Mr. Madden? Thank you, Jeff. Mr. Dameron is represented today. Senator, good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the commission. I first want to thank you all for allowing us the opportunity to come down and see you on this issue. The fact that my name is Richard Stewart, and I'm an attorney from Montrose, Virginia, and I represent Mr. Dameron. The fact that he did not come the first time, I think, lends credibility to the fact that he really didn't understand that he'd done anything wrong. And upon learning of this is when he got into it, and he talked to me about it, and we petitioned you all to see if you would take a second look at this, because he did not come down here the first time. I want to thank you all for doing that. We do appreciate that. The information that we've provided sets out somewhat of a different scenario than what you all may have heard the first time. I think it's important for you all to hear from Mr. Dameron. And then I'd like an opportunity to just sum up quickly, if that's okay.
That'll be fine. Mr. Dameron, let me swear you in. Do you solemnly swear that the testimony you'll give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? So help you God.
I do.
Thank you. Please state your name for the record.
My name is Len Dameron. I'm the owner of Dameron Marine Construction. I'd like to thank the commission and staff for allowing me the opportunity to come here today to reconsider my involvement with the Benchmark Development Community Project. I was contacted by Mr. Scott Pierce, who was the project manager for Benchmark Developers, and asked to give them a price to do this project. I gave them the price. We agreed. They hired me to do the project. I was in no way involved or hired to obtain any of the permits. However, it did state in the contract that I would make sure that all the permits were in place. The way I went about doing that was the way I would. I've only been in business for 6 years, and this was only the second year of my business in being in business when this took place. So what I would typically do in checking to make sure that all permits were in place would be first and foremost, you know, have they filed a joint permit application, and in this case they had a year earlier, and they had a county permit from Northumberland County to build the project. And in any other projects, when I have a county permit, That county permit cannot be issued or will not be issued without a no permit necessary letter from the VMRC or a VMRC permit. So when I saw the county permit and it was tacked to the tree, the joint permit application had been filed a year earlier. One would assume that permits were all in place and I proceeded. I am completely sorry for being here today. Obviously, I cannot make that assumption in the future. The VMRC permit was not in place. As far as the plan goes, you know, when you guys heard this back earlier, like Mr. Stewart said, until I received the letter stating the civil fine that had been put on me for this project, I had no idea that I had done anything wrong and that I needed to show up to testify in July when this project was heard. If I had realized or had thought that there was any inkling that I had done something wrong, I would have definitely been here. So I apologize again for you guys having to bring this on your agenda again. But what I will say is, you know, I was my second year in business. I tried to do everything on the up and up. I think staff of the areas and territories that I work in know me on a first name basis because I'm always calling them, asking them, you know, if there's ever a question. And I hope you guys will just accept my apology.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just a quick question if I can. I just want to understand a little bit better what the interaction was with Mr. Pierce. And I recognize this was back in 2008, so to the extent that you can recall, you presented us with an updated set of drawings that you indicated that's what the developer asked you to build. And did they represent that they had the permits in place?
Absolutely.
At that point?
There was a permit from the county on the tree at the job site. So it was a permit prominently displayed. And Mr. Pierce's involvement on the project was a daily project manager. He was there on the job daily.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, can I just interject on, because that's a really important question. If you look on the contract, talking about the drawings that may have been a sketch, the contract calls for a 170-foot-long pier. And this is what they signed on to with Mr. Dameron, which is exactly what that sketch was, 170 feet long. So he signed up for the plan that was given him by Mr. Pierce, who was a representative of the developer and, frankly, also a family member of the developer. And I think that's really important for you all to take a look at.
And just to follow up, Mr. Chairman, who actually submitted the JPA? And that may be a better question for staff, but did Benchmark submit the JPA or did Dameron Construction?
Okay. Benchmark.
Thank you.
And the agent, thank you. The agent of record was Jeff Howitt.
I'm sorry.
It was the agent of record was Jeff Howitt.
Thank you.
Mr. Dameron, do you have anything further?
No, I do
not.
Okay.
Senator?
Mr. Chairman, if I may briefly, I want to thank you all. This is unfortunate that you have to take your time to revisit this or to visit this at all. And frankly, I appreciate your willingness to do it. I know that when you all look at these cases, it's important for you all to assess fines, to send a message to those who would just completely thumb their nose at the jurisdiction and the authority of the MRC. And I too think that's important. But that's not what we have here. What we have here is a fellow who was young in his business, who was given a set of plans, who contracted to build exactly what was on that set of plans, who had representations from the developer's agent, that all permits were in place. Now, it was his responsibility to make sure that those permits were in place, and he understands that. And I can assure you all, he will never make that mistake again. He has learned that lesson, and he's learned it the hard way. But it's inconceivable to think that anyone would go out and build a pier like that and think they could get away with it without a permit. And it's inconceivable to think that if he'd done it, he wouldn't come down here and try to tell you all or give you some excuse. That's not what he's doing. He's here today saying, I'm sorry, I screwed up, I made a mistake, I've learned a hard lesson, I was young in business, I'm trying to do things right, I call VMRC now every time I have something to do to make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Frankly, $9,000 is a huge fine on anybody who's just getting started out in business. And it could be the difference between him staying in business and not. And that's as honest as we can be. I hope he doesn't get mad at me, but I was thinking about this as I was sitting here talking about it. I bought my son a motorcycle. He's 15 years old, and it was a mini bike. And on the cover of the book, when we got it out for him to ride it, it said, "Stupid hurts." And that means you got to be careful with that motorcycle. But we've learned the same thing today. Because he overlooked that, and he relied on representations that others made to him, he's here, and he faces these fines and assessments. I really hope that you all will consider a probationary period for Mr. Dameron. If he is in noncompliance or violates something again, then he knows what's coming. But give him the chance to do right and to learn from this. This fine, frankly, is crippling to a young business. And he doesn't know that he could sustain it if he could, in fact, pay it. And he wants this to be done. He wants you all to know he's learned his lesson. So please take all that into consideration. And thank you all.
Thank you. Thanks, Fox.
Has the left wing of the pier been removed?
I had no idea. Benchmark Developers has not contacted me in any of that.
Staff?
But we have instructed them to remove that part, right?
We've extended their period for them to comply based on the information that we received in the reconsideration of this matter.
Question? Final questions? Mr. Tanker?
I have of gentleman, or Senator Stewart. Is the moderate and moderate degree of assessment agreeable to your client? That's the staff recommendation.
Right, Mr. Chairman, I put less emphasis on the degree of noncompliance because he made a mistake for which he takes responsibility. So I leave that within the sound purview of this commission. What is important is that you all give him the opportunity to work through this without him suffering any other pecuniary loss, I guess is the best way to say it. Give him a chance. And if he fouls up a second time, then by gosh, he's going to get hit hard and he knows it. But I don't think you're going to see him back in here again. I think you'll have a good contractor from here on out that works well with your staff as opposed to somebody that you all have to enforce in the box.
Yes. Mr. Kugelman.
Senator Stewart, just a quick question. I just want to make sure the commission's jurisdiction is properly invoked here. If the commission were to vote that there would be some period of suspension in lieu of other enforcement, that he would be agreeable to that condition?
He is agreeable to that, and the matter could end here as opposed to...
Thank you, sir. I just want to make the record clear.
Yes, your office having to do anything for him.
Thank you, sir.
The matter's before the commission.
I think we got one.
Yes, sir.
Can I speak?
Yes.
My name is David Nelson. I'm one of the principals of Benchmark.
You swear
I was here
Let me swear you in.
Go ahead.
You swear the testimony you give be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So
I do.
Proceed.
Thank you very much. I have been a re-permitter of properties for 30 years. I've worked in 7 states. I have never had a violation. Skiff Cove is my first residential piece of property. The pier at Skiff Cove is the first pier. In all my business dealings, I hire professional people to do their job. And when they screw up, I now find myself being culpable. Len Dameron in our conversations, has denied all culpability. I've asked him about remedies of removing the wing of the pier. I've asked him, he refused. I asked him when we went to the county, they didn't like our finger pilings and didn't like our mooring pilings. I asked him to remove those, he refused. I paid to have it done by a third party. I rely on professional people to do jobs. I've never met Len Dameron previously. He was a sub. I've never met any sub on any of my jobs that I can recall. I rely on their professionalism to get the job done and get it done right. Now, I hired Jeff Hallett as the engineer and as my agent here, and I hired Len Dameron to build the pier. He has testified that he believed when he had the county permit, we went through the Wetlands Board, we went through the public hearing, all of that, he believed that was sufficient. Scott Pierce, being a general contractor in Northumberland County, no longer my partner's son-in-law, he's now in Colorado, he's no longer building. He's managing a piece of property there, from what I understand. In this, there was about a two-three-year delay between our permit and when this contract, I'm not exactly sure of the timetable, when this hearing was held. We had a protest from a fellow you heard from last time who wanted me to give him an 80-foot easement into his property. And because I wouldn't do that, I offered to sell it to him. He wanted to be able to develop his 10 acres of property. I offered to sell it to him for $80,000. He said no, but he filed the protest. You've got all that on record. The staff recommendation at the time of that hearing was that you would fine us $5,000 and you were going to fine the contractor $9,000. Okay. You elected to say those fines needed to be equal, so you boosted Benchmark's fine, and this is on the record, to $9,000. Okay. I subsequently learned that Len Dameron and my engineer Jeff Hallett are not the best of friends. They've had previous dealings with each other that have alienated each other from one another. So I'm not surprised that Len Dameron didn't contact Jeff Hallett to make sure all those permits were in place, but proceeded on the basis of the county permit. You, in addition, fined me $18,000, triple damages, for the pier, which I thought was extremely onerous. So what I would ask is that whatever relief you offer Len Dameron, whether it is a reduced fine, whether it is no fine, whether it's an installment basis payout, whether it's a condition that he never does anything wrong again, is never before this hearing again or this commission again, grant me the same privilege. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? Seeing none, thank you. Senator, did you wish to respond to any of what you've heard there?
That you have a contract in your package that calls that mirrors exactly the set of plans that was given to him by Mr. Nelson's agent, 170 feet long, which just speaks volumes to me. I think really that is what is integral to this whole issue. He built exactly what they asked him to build and said the permits were in place at the time.
Thank you.
If I could add one more comment.
Just real quick. We're not going to get into a floor debate here.
When you hire a marine contractor to build a dock, you assume that they know all the regulations about not being more than a third over the right-of-way, or over the waterway. It appears that was the whole issue here, that one wing of the dock was more than that third. I think it's irresponsible for a licensed marine contractor to not know that regulation and build it from a sketch. Thank you.
Any final questions?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Beck?
Being new on the board, I'm wondering, was there a fine against Benchmark?
Yes, $9,000 against both Benchmark and the contractor each.
And has Benchmark paid it?
I think they've been...
this
yeah. They have not paid it yet, but the deadline has not arrived. The matter's before the commission. Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to ask staff or council if there's anything that would preclude us from structuring this in a way that was somewhat, or at least some portion of it was probationary, or if we're able to also accept any deferred payment schedule in light of the hardships that have been addressed by the...
I'm not aware of that being
by Mr. Dammer.
A requirement in the code or in our matrix.
Counselor, is there anything that would preclude us from taking that type of approach here?
No, sir. Not as long as I asked Senator Stewart, the party was in agreement with it.
Okay. Other questions or comments?
It seems to me that what was portrayed to Mr. Dameron was exactly what he built. And I know that it is... on his shoulders to make sure he does operate within the laws of Virginia. But as again, we have heard from Senator Stewart, he's new to the business, believes he has, in fact, has the Benchmark developers has the permit, and he should have checked further, but he didn't. I think that perhaps the best course of action is the one that the staff has recommended to us, both moderate and moderate, with a time schedule of payment, and I would make that a motion.
Can we get a specific dollar figure on that motion from staff? What?
Yes, if you look at your next statement, there's going to be about $6,000, as I recall.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Okay, we have a motion to reduce the penalty from $9,000 to $6,000 and to offer some form of an installment plan. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Is there a second to that motion? Seconded by Mr. Plumley. Comments on the motion? Mr. Robbins.
Mr. Chairman, I would ask the maker and seconder if they would consider reducing this to $3,000 and treating the balance between the original civil charge of $9,000 and $3,000 on a probationary basis for a period of 2 years. I think in light of the fact that, as the maker points out, the contractor did build what he was directed and essentially contracted by the developer to build. It was further described in the drawings that have been submitted to us. I think by the same token, any marine contractor has a certain level of responsibility that we can't simply wish away from this discussion. In fact, the contractor does, or the builder does, have to have a permit in hand. I think that lesson is clear now. And so I think there's still some residual level of responsibility. But I would submit that under the hardships that have been described, I would be more inclined to support a $3,000 civil charge that, again, treats the balance between the original charge and that as probationary. And I would just ask the maker if that would be acceptable.
Is that acceptable to the maker?
When we put it in the context that you depict, I would do that.
All right, is the seconder okay with
that? No objection to that change.
No objection. So let me make sure I understand the modified motion. The modified motion would be to reduce the penalty from $9,000 to $3,000 payable over an installment plan. You have to be described. Mr. Dameron be placed on a 2-year probation. If he's found in another violation during that time period, he would suffer the additional penalty or difference between $3,000 and $9,000. Am I stating that correctly?
Yes, sir.
And I would ask for one other addition, and that is he attend any subsequent hearing required on this subject matter in the future, because if there's another request made, I don't want to be in the middle of conversations that took place outside the commission, and we can't inquire about them, that he participate in finalizing of this process if needed.
All right. Before we take comment, can perhaps the maker of the motion speak to the installment plan of this? What were you thinking there?
I had no thought when I made the motion. I thought perhaps staff might have something that they had considered, but
you want to pay the $3,000 over the 2-year probationary period?
That would make sense. It would follow a sort of a symmetrical pattern.
Watkinson.
Along those lines, we had not laid out any parameters for an installment. We hope you could come up with that with the applicant. But if it's $3,000, some initial payment, some payment maybe halfway through, and then some payment at the end. So if you would be willing to put some parameters on that, then maybe that would be appropriate. And I'm guessing as a suggestion, if $3,000 is what's on the table now, that $1,000, $1,000, and $1,000 over that period. One at now, one at a year, and then the other $1,000 at 3.
All right.
Yep.
That acceptable?
That sounds perfect.
Acceptable. Let me ask the applicant if what has been described in the motion is acceptable to them.
Yes, it is. I've just discussed this with him as we've been going on.
Okay. Thank you. Are we ready to vote? All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Thank you.
Can I address the benchmark?
I guess we have a request from Benchmark Developers to provide them with the same treatment, and I'll ask the commission if is there anything you wish to do on that at this time. And hearing none, apparently not. So that's going to stand as is.